This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, welcome to Beyond the Ballot Box with me, Dashrin Johan. Last week, a political debate took place between former Prime Minister Najib Razak and opposition leader Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim. The debate centered around Sapura Energy Berhad as well as the economic future of this nation. But was the debate useful for the masses? Does it promote healthy democracy, or did it do more to legitimise Najib, who's convicted of corruption? So joining me on the show today to unpack this is Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Malaysia's Asia Research Institute. Welcome to the show, Bridget.
Great to be here as always. Thanks so much.
Bridget, before we talk about the Najib versus Anwar debate specifically, I'd like to get your thoughts on political debates in general, such as, for example, the presidential debates in the US. Are they important to the people? What is their goal? What do they hope to achieve?
Look, political debates are an extremely important part of democratic processes globally. Mm-hmm. And I think we can see that they are important for four reasons. First of all, in close political races, they're decisive for fence-sitters or people who are not tuned into politics. They provide a venue for them to be able to kind of assess the candidates. And I think this is one of the reasons why they have been so important in the American political system, because they help voters decide in an election. The second thing is that they can actually elevate the discussion of politics by focusing particularly on policies. And of course, sometimes in debates, they can actually reduce and decline the quality, the elevation of the discussion in terms of the lack of civility in others. But generally, the purpose of debates is to actually talk about substance of issues. And I think that this is an important element because often, and to hear different sides, to have a conversation. And I think in part of that policy discussion, not just one person presenting a perspective, but also a different perspective of that perspective. The third thing is that debates can level out an uneven playing field. So they give an advantage to somebody who is more of an underdog in the contest. And I think that, you know, what we see in the context of Malaysia is that we're having a dynamic where traditionally there weren't debates because they didn't want to have discussions with the other side. Now that they have a situation where both sides or different sides are participating, this actually really indicates a kind of more competitive political process. And finally, I think debates, what they do is they set the tone of politics. If they provide civility, they also help to provide civility in the political process as a whole. They are part of a healthy democratic process where there is discussions about politics in a way that is seen to be cordial and also focused on the issues that people care about.
Now, you brought up a lot of the benefits and the importance of political debates. I want to ask you about if there is a downside to this, because a lot of political debates, on the one hand, you brought up how they can change the hearts and minds of people, especially fence-sitters. But on the other hand, does it have the tendency to sort of devolve into a sort of spectator sport in which people go to cheer their own team? And I also, you know, we talk about the importance presidential debates have been in the American political system. But at the same time, I'm wondering, the political debates, are they really that useful without an active fact checker? For example, in 2020, we saw both Joe Biden and Donald Trump, especially Donald Trump, lie over and over and over again during their debate on international broadcasts.
Yeah, well, I think, this is the problem with politicians is that they construct realities in a particular way. And part of those is they create narratives that are full of lies. Mm-hmm. We do see a situation where, we can see that in a political polarized context, they feed those particular narratives of difference. And what we see in a debate like this one that took place, the Perdana debate in Malaysia, when that took place, it was really more about about political entertainment as opposed to really developing political information. So we do, there is clearly a downside, is that it is actually rallying supporters as opposed to, and not offering new ideas and creating a context of feeding and reinforcing disinformation. I think that there's a little bit less of that in the debate that happened in terms of disinformation, although mm-hmm. there were some issues we right. could talk about. But I would say that very much this was a political rallying of supporters and a stage political entertainment in this context. And I think that reflects the limitations of this debate in this context.
So let's dig into that, because you brought about how you brought up this point, entertainment, and how this debate between Anwar and Najib, it sort of devolved into that. So, you know, honing in on the Anwar versus Najib debate, before even the debate itself, what were your immediate thoughts when the debate was first announced? Should it have taken place in the first place?
Well, I think, you know, should have, could have, would have, it's already happened. So but I think my immediate thought was, this is about them, not the interests, and their particular interests, not the interests of the country.
Right.
And what I also see is that they're using each other to promote each other. And I think that I remain of the view that I think it was not correct to legitimize a convicted criminal. And I think that this is a poor decision by Anwar Ibrahim in particular. And then what's ended up is that people are saying that the two criminals were debating, two convicted criminals were debating. Although Anwar Ibrahim has been pardoned, we'll see what happens with Najib. But I think that, you know, what we look at this debate, it was, there was, unfortunately, a lot of it was, there were, it was staged, right? It wasn't necessarily, there was kind of a set parameters. Huh? Mm-hmm. And I think that there weren't, I think there was some interaction, but those interactions were not really as dynamic as it might be. And also I would say that there is, there could have been more independent review of the policy issues. So a lot of what was said, there hasn't been adequate discussion, not just fact checking, but a meaningful discussion of the issues that were raised. Because I think many of the things were touched on very surface, and I think it was a very superficial discussion in many ways.
Watching the debate, who do you think was the victor of the debate? Was there even a victor to begin with?
Well, I mean, let's take first about the debate in terms of constructive view. I think right. that, you know, the debates are valuable. There's substance. I view that the player should not have been different. My view is that Anwar should have debated. If he was going to debate, he should have debated Anwar Ismail Sabri on these issues. And I think there could have been a slightly different format. But I think that, you know, a more realistic view about this debate is that, you know, if we look at the history of the debates in the Malaysian context, this is about a process of changing practices over time. This is an important step of normalizing political discussion. It took place in a very civil format. There was some substance, and there were some discussions. So I think that, you know, clearly, if we see the half full part of the glass, we can see that this was a positive step in terms of the debate taking place. You know, from a political perspective, I think that Najib was very successful in rallying his supporters.
Right.
And he became more legitimized. His comeback has become normalized. I don't think that Anwar Ibrahim rallied his supporters to the same degree, as many of them were angry that he was sitting down with Najib. This is from a perspective of political gains. From terms of policy gains, I think Anwar made some substantive points against kind of looking back at the policy initiatives that Najib had, right? You know, about Subrahmanyam, the Petronas, the cake analogy, and so forth, right? But I think Najib himself was much more effective in focusing on the future. And I think, you know, Najib has... you know, notwithstanding the terrible scandals in terms of 1MDB and the issues of integrity and the political crackdowns that he engaged in when he was in office, I would say that, you know, in terms of managing policy areas, Najib was quite effective in terms of presenting them and discussing them. And I think this came across for in how he was presenting the ideas in terms of, in fact, of the two men, Najib presented more concrete substance from a perspective of some of the policy dynamics and issues. But, you know, I think that Najib did fumble in ironic ways, right? I think that, you know, he's playing his cards so openly, right? And people say that, you know, the king is rakyat was an important element, but I also think that this is it reinforces, I think in some ways, is a fumble for Najib. Mm-hmm. I have a different view of how this comment, in that I think it really it basically shows brought attention to some of the problems of his leadership. And I think this is something that's going to haunt him, because it reinforces this conversation of cash is king, king is, and so forth, mm-hmm. which I think is going to be problematic in Najib's political future.
Now, Bridget, you brought up a couple of times already this word legitimacy. And prior to the debate, Anwar and Najib, they smiled at each other, they fist bumped. That image has been captured, it has been publicized, it has circulated all over social media. What is the significance of this?
Well, I think, you know, I mentioned earlier that I think that Anwar did not gain in terms of rallying his supporters as because of the fact that he has helped to legitimize Najib. You know, the dynamic between them shows that they are clearly that they've been friends. And this is something that is well known for a long time, right? You know, and I think what it does is that it creates a perception in the public, right, where I think Najib benefits the most from that, right? But it also feeds a distrust within Harapan among the different partners. And, you know, it's really interesting to see the stark differences of how Anwar views both Mahathir and Najib. All right. Both men put him in prison, but one he is basically openly fist bumping and smiling at, and the other, you know, he sees in a very different way. Right? And I think this undercuts Anwar in his political base. It really kind of showcases that he's not really, you know, drawing attention to the problems of 1MDB, the scandals of 1MDB, and the impact of what the 1MDB scandal had on Malaysia. And I think that this is, you know, I think it was poorly, it was poorly done. Right. But the point is, however, is that the debate had, once it happened, he had a choice to be civil or not civil, and he chose the routine of being civil and almost too friendly.
On the show with me today is Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Malaysia's Asia Research Institute. After the break, I ask her, what does it signal that it's Najib who debated Anwar and not Ismail Sabri, the current Prime Minister of Malaysia? Keep it here on Beyond the Ballot Box, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Beyond the Ballot Box. I'm Darshan Johan, and on the show with me today is Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Malaysia's Asia Research Institute, and we're talking about the Anwar versus Najib debate. So, Bridget, we are living in trying times, as you always highlight. There's on top of corruption and political turmoil. The more important thing is that working class people are suffering, especially in the COVID, post-COVID era that we are in right now. And then we have climate change, and which Malaysians are seeing the effects firsthand with floods and all of this. Now, people are on the ground are constantly thinking about bread and butter issues. Was there anything concrete for the people to take away from the debate?
I don't think it's just a matter of working class people. I think the middle class and upper class people as well, who are basically looking for policies to move forward. I mean, I think so in terms of the issues of addressing the economic recovery, what type of policies should be introduced. They weren't focused on the here and now, with the exception mm-hmm. of focus perhaps a little bit on how they should respond to the Sepoy issue and so forth. But I think more generally, in terms of things that are concrete for ordinary people, that there weren't many substantive issues on what should be done into the economy now. But I do think there is an important takeaway of this debate. Mm-hmm. And I think this is something that I, perhaps controversially, I will say this, and that anyone watching this debate would see that Malaysia needs new leaders and it needs new policies.
Speaking about the fact that, you know, it was Najib who debated against Anwar, I remember a video from a couple of months ago in which Zahid Hamidi, the president of UMNO, pushes Ismail Sabri, the Prime Minister of Malaysia, to the side and brings Najib to the fore. Now, in the debate with opposition leader Anwar Ibrahim, it's once again Najib, former Prime Minister, and not the current Prime Minister, who's in action. As people tuning in to the debate, how should we interpret what we watched?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it is pretty clear that in UMNO, it is not clear who is going to be the next prime minister if UMNO mm-hmm. wins the next election. Mm-hmm. And it's not clear what Najib's role will be in the next in moving forward. Will he get a political pardon? Will he contest? And what will it mean in terms of moving forward? I think that this debate only reinforces the impression that that Najib is going to be, still is a major player in UMNO, and that Ismail Sabri's future remains somewhat uncertain. You know, I think if the debate had been between Anwar Ibrahim and Ismail Sabri, and even if it wasn't an official debate, even if there had been more substance debate in Parliament, which is another area which this debate should be taking place, mm-hmm. I think things would have been seen very differently. I think this did not help Ismail Sabri either.
Our country is a parliamentary democracy. There are sittings, you know, for weeks on weeks and a couple of times a year, 2-3 times a year. What difference is a political debate like this Najib versus Anwar debate versus debating in parliament?
Well, unfortunately, debating in parliament right now, the speaker controls the discussions, so there isn't not some of the important issues cannot really go rise to the surface.
Right.
And it also the government seems to be protected in terms of how it can in terms of the level of questions and issues and accountability. So the parliament arena has not yet transformed into having that kind of debate. So a debate forum provides a different type of venue to have things that are much more focused on a set of issues, and allows more depth. And traditionally, it allows different questions to be raised about the economy and others. I think one of the concerns about this debate was that it was too staged, right? But and it was almost like it was scripted in some parts. But that said, what we do have is a situation where there was more depth of sets of issues than we've seen in some parts of the parliamentary debate. And keep in mind that part of the culture in parliament, that there are many of the times is that opposition politicians will be focused on giving out salvos and criticisms. So sometimes the quality and caliber of debate is not civil in parliament, right. And it is also not substantive from a perspective of some of the exchanges. But what has been interesting is as the parliament has evolved in the last few years, is you do see in some of the speeches really quite substantive discussions of issues. And so I think we have to recognize that that both the debates that are taking place, even if there are some serious flaws with them, that there is also, and in the debates that are happening in Parliament, there is more substantive discussions of policies. The problem is that the media and the perception still focuses on the personalities, and it focuses on the competition and the kind of the surfaceness, the shallowness of the discussions. Right. I think what would be useful in this context is to have a much more meaningful discussion of the substantive issues and help to contextualize those so that the public can understand why things like Surabaya Dynamics is affecting Malaysia's credibility, and it affects and has important scandal implications for the country. And what are the issues in terms of how Petronas should be governed, which is a very important policy discussion that came out of the debate. The issue of the GSD, it is pretty clear that that UMNO government and Najib may bring back the NSD.
Right.
And there's discussions about inequality and issues of the economy. There were these issues, but there wasn't follow-up. There isn't depth in discussion. And I think those things are critical for the country. And I think that in gaining traction on policy debates beyond just talking and raising them, I think is something that can have important traction to strengthen Malaysia's democracy.
What did this debate accomplish more? Did it promote healthy democracy, or did it legitimize a convicted criminal, essentially, and also focus more on personalities?
Well, I think, you know, the first thing I would say is all of the above. Mm. All right. But, you know, the most, I think, interesting thing for me about this debate was how people responded to the debate. Mm. In terms of the most humorous responses were by the public,
yes.
Which I thought was, and, you know, if we step back and think about Malaysia maybe 5-10 years ago, the level of kind of satire and the level of criticism that the public have has profoundly shifted. And I think this can be both unhealthy because it also reflects a certain degree of pessimism and frustration. But at the same time, it also reflects a kind of more robust, healthier environment where people feel that they can talk about politics and talk about personalities and make fun of politicians and what they say in a more open environment. And I think that to me was I thought was quite interesting, and it also reflects how Malaysia has really shifted. That the discussion and the debates and the narratives are not necessarily set by the politicians; they're being set by how people think about the politicians, and the narratives are not coming down. Not most people really saw the debate in a very questioning lenses. You know, they didn't follow the view that this is what this person has said is truthful. They looked at it more analytically and with a certain degree of skepticism. And of course, the romance of politicians has ended in Malaysia. But at the same time, it's in a difficult situation of making assessments. And I think this is something that is that the system has become more open and more dynamic in itself. Now, I think the debate, it has its constraints. We've already gone through those. But I think that, you know, if there can be a normalization of political discussions that are civil, that focus on policy issues, of which this debate provides a very small step in that direction, this is something very constructive for the country. I think that it would be useful that that debates not just be about these individuals, and I think it would be useful to extend these debates to other different actors and different individuals and party platforms. I think that and if they become more routinized, this provides more information for the public, and in particular to be focused around during the election time. You know, there's the manifestos that are presented, they're not really debated in any meaningful way. Mm-hmm. And I think that having substantive discussions about policy issues and not just with politicians, but it would be useful to have some of the leading think tanks present and talk about the issues that were in the debates and open up the discussion more broadly. What I think is a positive about this debate is that it was a national audience. It reached people in the rural areas and others that may not be tuned into politics. Not as many as perhaps would happen during an election, but mm-hmm. I think that in itself shows that there is a bit more substance and a bit more engagement. And we can see that election season is coming. And I think that this, I think I would rather see the glasses half full, despite the constraints of what we've seen in the conversation so far about what the debate, the limitations of the debate.
As we wrap this conversation up, Bridget, would you have a final message for us?
Look, Malaysia reflects the fact that changes don't happen in a linear way, mm-hmm. and change has to be fought for, and it has to be defended, and it has to be refought for. And I think that the debate showcases the limitations of what is on offer electorally, but at the same time, it also shows that there is a need to engage more substantively with ordinary people, and that people are listening and tuning in. And I think that Malaysians will have their opportunity to decide as the rakyat where the country is going to move forward. And those votes are going to be very important in the next election.
On that note, thank you so much for speaking with me, Bridget. That was Dr. Bridget Welch, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia's Asia Research Institute. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Dashan Johan, and this has been Beyond the Ballot Box, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.